I'm here on behalf of the Research Councils UK, and that's the Research Councils working together. And I didn't want to spend a great deal of time talking about what is obviously and recognised well in this room by everybody, our core business and its role in impact and innovation. And that is, of course, the huge amount of research that we commission every year and the thousands of postgraduate students who ultimately, most of them ultimately leave academia and go out into the wider world and take that know-how with them. I mean, I think I was hoping that I can take that as read. I wanted really to focus on what the research councils themselves are doing to try and to actually build impact and innovation and what our role is as bodies, really. And I want to cover it from a number of different angles. So I want to talk about universities, and I want to talk about business, and I want to talk about the Technology Strategy Board, and I want to talk about government and policy. So those are the four areas I want to go into. So with universities, with researchers, I think one of the things that research councils would love to see as a success factor is that every researcher in every discipline, irrespective of what they are doing, at least thought about whether or not what they were embarking on and doing might be of interest to somebody else. Now, that might be another discipline, or it might be a private sector, or it might be the public sector. Now, that's a culture change. It doesn't mean to say that every branch of every discipline needs to actually achieve economic impact, obviously, but that process of just thinking about it is one that I think that there's a lot of effort has gone into the research councils with the universities to try and uncover. And that's where the Pathways to Impact activity comes from. So my success factor in that would be we didn't need to do any of that. It is as logical and natural to researchers to be thinking about who might be interested in their research as it is that they teach and research in the first place. And if we can achieve that, and there's plenty of room then for disciplines to say, well, I can't see. I'm not attempting to even think about, you know, exactly where my outcomes might be, but maybe another part of another discipline might be interested in this. And if something comes up, I will actually go and talk to people and see whether they are. So that's the sort of culture change that a lot of what the research councils are trying to do is to encourage. Now, of course, the other thing that I mentioned, which is the thousands of postgraduate students who ultimately, most of them ultimately leave academia, and that is really to make sure that we are leading and making and setting best practice in terms of broader skills. So when they do leave academia, that they can take that knowledge with them and hit the ground running wherever it is that they end up. And I think we have a best practice role in that. We are by no means the only funders of postgraduates. In fact, probably a minority funder of postgraduates, but we do have a role in leadership there. The other thing that the research councils are doing, not only working with universities, of course, we have campuses where there is the close proximity of new companies and existing companies alongside that technology powerhouse, that intellectual powerhouse of the research as it's happening. So that can happen through campuses like Babraham and Harwell, but it can also happen in the university sector through clubs and shared spaces. So, for example, the innovation knowledge centres, which we co-fund with TSB, are about shared space. So it's bringing people together from academe and outside academe where they can freely exchange information and knowledge about what they're doing. So trying to be really creative and have some form of leadership role in making sure that those sorts of cultural changes happen over time. And they do take time to embed. We recognise that. With business, the research councils collectively have about 2,400 businesses and other organisations collaborating on our research portfolios. Some of those, the research councils, have direct partnerships with ourselves. And we do have a suite of strategic partnerships with a number of companies and sectors. Now, why do companies want to come and talk to research councils? Why don't they go to universities? And of course, they do that as well. Well, what the research councils have that actually I would challenge you to say, does anybody else have this in the UK? And that is national knowledge of excellence and where it is and who's doing what. Everything that we fund is the result, as you know, of highly competitive peer review. So we have a national picture of excellence. We know where the centres are. We know who's doing what. And as businesses are looking to an open innovation and a more structured collaboration with the university sector, that's knowledge they want. They do find, and I'd be interested to hear your response to this, going to an individual university, the response often is, we're the answer to your prayer. We can do everything. Now, companies know actually that's possibly not necessarily the truth in terms of national excellence. There may be other reasons why they want to go to those universities, but they do know that we have that knowledge. They come and talk to us. They want to unscramble some of the complex university partnerships that build up over time in companies. In fact, I found myself telling companies what their university partners are because they don't know. It's happened bottom up in a sort of rather unstrategic way. As companies want to become more strategic in their university partnerships, that's where we can help. But there is this challenge that is now setting us. Those who've become very good at it would prefer us only to fund those universities. Now, why are we scattergunning our investment in an area they're interested in when they have identified that there are six or eight university groups that they really want to work with? And so we do come under a bit of pressure, and it's a challenge to know how we're going to deal with this. As the companies are looking for that sort of strategic partnership with universities, is how we deal with that. But it is something on the horizon at the moment. What helps us a lot is companies coming together in sectors. So we're really pleased that we're working closely with things like the Automotive Council and the aerospace sector through the National Aerospace Technology Strategy Programme. All these roadmaps help us to identify where there are long-term future needs. And we don't use it for individual project planning, but it does help us to adjust where some of our longer funding are going. And we are also brokering cross-business partnerships, for example, in autonomous systems, where we've just got a call out at the moment, which is cross-sectoral, cross-university, looking at those sort of pre-competitive areas which are not sector-specific or company-specific. Now, with the TSB, I think we have matured our relationship very strongly in this over the years. If you think about it, when TSB was formed, the research councils had financial targets. You will do this amount of business with the TSB, and that was the metric. And I think that was a pretty crude metric, but not a bad one because everybody was new at this and we were starting up. I think over that period and going forward, we're looking much more at a tighter and smarter relationship for innovation, which means that the TSB can reach further back into the research base to look at where possible new technologies are coming from, where potential pre-ticks through to new ticks of the future might come from. And actually what we would like to see would be more money going to the TSB, because what's constraining that relationship actually is that, you know, the choices sometimes that the TSB have to make. So I think I'll stop there, but I hope that that's just given you some challenges from the Research Council point of view.